Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of Let's Get Invisible by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. My recording schedule now is to record every time I have a free 4 or 5 hours alone at home, which clearly happens almost never. But yeah, last weekend was my brother's wedding. I was the best man. It was honestly the best wedding I've ever been to. Beautiful location in San Diego. That's the sister restaurant of the one I have like tattooed on my arm. I absolutely love his new wife, and who's also, I guess, my sister legally now. I gave a good best man speech and didn't fuck it up. Got congratulated on it. I got shit ripped. It was all just a good time all around. Scarlett, you gonna want attention right now when I start recording? Anyway, they got me a alligator leather wallet. That's very nice. It was just awesome, but I did shit non-fucking-stop because they were in town for it and, you know, went golfing, there's a party the day before, it's just a lot of boozing and good times. Anyway, now that that's over, and I wore my suit fine and look good, I'm back to drinking malt liquor, so last night I had a nice 40 of Old English, and right now I'm drinking a Steel Reserve, thank Christ! Alright, enough of the rambling. I'm Dune, this is Dune Reads Goosebumps. Chapter number 12. When the glaring light dimmed, I stared hard into the mirror. The reflections were bright and clear. Against the back wall, I could see April, slumped on the floor, staring intently at her watch. Oh, sorry, I'm your bored, April, with people getting fucking invisible. Lefty stood near the wall to the right, gaping like Goatsy at the spot where I had stood, a silly grin on his face. Zack stood next to him, his arms crossed over his chest like some sort of low-rent Dracula, also staring into the mirror. Erin leaned against the wall to the left. Her eyes were on the light above the mirror frame. And where was I? Standing right in front of the mirror. Right in the center of it, staring at their reflections, staring at the spot where my reflection should be. Only it wasn't, motherfuckers, cause this is Goosebumps! I felt perfectly normal. Experimenting, I kicked the floor. My invisible sneakers made the usual scraping sound. Doesn't make a scraping sound when you kick a floor. I would show you this, but I think my downstairs neighbors would not appreciate it. I grabbed my arm. My left arm with my right hand, I don't know why, whatever, and squeezed it. It felt perfectly normal, chubby and disgusting. Hi, everyone, I said. I sounded the same as ever, only I was invisible. I glanced up at the light, casting a yellow rectangle down onto the mirror. What was the light's power, I wondered. Did it do something to your molecules? Make them break apart and get all wacky and shit somehow so you couldn't see them? No, that wasn't a good theory. If your molecules broke up, you'd have to feel it, and you wouldn't be able to kick the floor, or squeeze your arm, or talk. How do you know so much about molecules? What are you? Molecule Jones? Wasn't that a movie with Chris Rock? Why does Chris Rock make so many shitty movies? What's Chris Rock do now? Why does he get so much credit as a stand-up? Is he still funny? That fool got a big mouth. Not like, you know, not in the metaphorical sense. He literally has a big mouth. So what did the light do? Did it cover you up somehow? Did the light form some kind of a blanket? A covering that hid you from yourself and everyone else? What a mystery! It actually says that. I had the feeling I'd never be able to find it out. Never know the answer. I turned my eyes away from the light. It was starting to hurt my eyes. I closed my eyes. These eyes a lot right there. What have I made a joke yet, or am I just rambling over this? God damn it, I'm terrible at this. But the bright glare stayed with me. Two white circles that refused to dim. How do you feel, Max? Aaron's voice broke through into my thoughts. Shit, I feel okay, I guess, I said. My voice sounded weird to me, kind of far away. 4 minutes, 30 seconds, April announced. The time went so fast, I said. At least, I thought I said it. I realized I couldn't tell if I was saying the words or just thinking them. It's just like he discovered mushrooms for the first time. The bright yellow light glowed even brighter. I had the sudden feeling that it was pouring over me, surrounding me, pulling me in. I I feel weird, I said. No response. Could they hear me? The light folded over me. I felt myself beginning to float. Oh, God, DMT. It was a frightening feeling, as if I were losing control of my body. If you lost control of your body, you'd shit yourself right away. That's number one. Even if you just shit, you'd immediately shit yourself because your body's an asshole. It's like a dog. Whenever you take it out, can always poop one more time. Ready? I screamed. Zach, ready? Can you hear me, Zach? It seemed to take Zach hours to reply. Okay, I said to him. His voice sounded so tiny, so far away. Miles and miles away. Ready? I cried. Ready? Okay. Again, I heard Zach's voice. But the light was so bright, so blindingly light. Waves of yellow light rolled over me. Ocean waves of light sweeping me away with it. Wow, he's really just describing my excitement about hallucinogens when I was like 15. Pull the chain, Zach! I screamed. At least, I think I was screaming. The light was tugging me so hard, dragging me far, far away. I knew I would float away. Float forever. Unless Zach pulled the chain and brought me back. Pull it, please pull it! I demanded, as if talking to some sort of Vietnamese masseuse. Okay! I saw Zach step up to the mirror. He was blurred in shadows. He stepped through dark shadows on the other side of the light. So far away. I felt so feather light. I could see Zach in the shadows. He jumped up. He grabbed the lamp chain and pulled it down hard. The light didn't click off. It glowed even fucking brighter. And then I saw Zach's face fill with horror. He held up his hand. He was trying to show me something. He had the chain in his hand. Max, the chain! He stammered. It broke off! I can't turn off the light! Good meow, Scarlet. Good timing. Okay, one cat's leaving me alone now, and the naked cat was bothering me and demanding attention. So I wrapped him up in a blanket, Disney Haunted Mansion wallpaper blanket. Then I go to Disneyland for the girlfriend's birthday, anniversary, I don't know. Anyway, so, he's looking alright, is my point. Everyone's good, I'm good. I drank a bunch more Steel Reserve because I felt I wasn't adding enough to it, and malt liquor helps everything.
Chapter number 13, malt liquor helps everything.
Beyond the shimmering wall of yellow light, Zach's outstretched hand came clearly into my view. The dark chain dangled from his hand like a dead snake, and now another cat's coming. It broke off, he was crying, sounding very alarmed. I stared through the light at the chain, feeling myself hovering beside Zach, floating and fading, once again like Marty McFly's brother. Also, I call myself Shardy McFly, and that's funny to me every time. Somewhere, far in the distance, April was screaming. I couldn't make out her words, nor could I make out with her, because I was an uggo, even while invisible. Lefty stood frozen in the center of the room. It seemed strange to see him standing so still. He was always moving, always bouncing, always tweaking, always running, always falling. But now he too stood staring at the chain. The light shimmered brighter. I saw a sudden movement. Someone was crossing the room. I struggled to focus. It was Erin. She was dragging a large cardboard box across the floor. The scraping sound it made seemed so far away. Feeling myself pulled away, I struggled to watch her. She pulled the box next to the mirror. Then, she climbed up onto it. By the way, this whole situation is strangely, not strangely, it seems stolen from what happens when you put on the One Ring. In the Lord of the Rings books. Look at R.L. Stine, just taking everything.
What if the One Ring was a mirror? And what if Sauron was my jerk brother?
I saw her reaching up to the lamp. I saw her staring into the light. I wanted to ask her what the fuck she was doing, but I was too far away. I was floating off. I felt so light, so feather light. And as I floated, the yellow light spread over me. It covered me like a golden shower, pulling me. And then, with startling suddenness, it was gone. And all was darkness. I did it! Erin proclaimed. I heard her explaining to the others. There was a little bit of chain left up there, and I pulled it and turned the light off. Her eyes darted frantically around the room, searching for me. Max, are you okay? Can you hear me? Yeah, I'm okay, I replied. I felt stronger, closer, better, doing stuff, stealing songs from Daft Punk. I stepped up to the mirror and searched for my reflection. This was scary, Lefty said behind me. I can feel myself coming back, I told them. What was his time? Zack asked April in a weird way with strange emphasis. April's features were tight with worry. Sitting against the wall, she looked pale and uncomfortable like a goth teenager. 5:48, she told Zack, and then quickly added, I really think this stupid competition is a big mistake. Feel that way about football? You beat my record, Zack groaned, turning to where he figured I was standing. I don't believe it. Almost 6 minutes. I'm going for longer than that, Lefty said, pushing past Zack and stepping up to the mirror. We have to fix the chain first, Aaron told him. It's too hard to keep climbing up on a box to pull that little piece of chain. I need a ridiculous rap chain, or maybe I don't. Maybe I should get a goosebump. I'm going to get slappy from Goosebumps. I bought a ridiculous rap chain of my face, and the mouth was a bottle opener, but the bottle opener didn't work because the place I was printing it, which I designed it in Illustrator, was like a 2D printing thing. It all worked well, except for they are out of metal materials, so I had to use plastic, and that does not open bottles. But the point is, there was a rap chain of my face looking all weird and bearded with my mouth open all the way to open bottles, and it says Dune at the bottom, because that's my name, son! Oh my god, cats! Alright. It was pretty strange at the end, I told them, still waiting to appear. The light grew brighter and brighter. Did you feel like you were getting pulled away? Aaron asked. Yeah, I replied, like I was fading or something. That's how I started to feel, Aaron cried. This is just so dangerous, April said, checking her head. Wow, I was in a Beastie Boys kind of mood. Shaking her head. I popped back. I was sweating. Woo! My knees buckled and I almost fell to the floor, but I grabbed the mirror and held myself up. After a few seconds, my legs felt strong again like ox. I took a few steps and regained my balance like spider monkey. What if we couldn't turn off the light? April demanded, climbing to her feet, brushing the dust off the back of her jeans with both hands. God, I wish I was her hand slapping her butt. Oh, whatever, back to the business. What if the chain completely broke and the light stayed on? What then? I shrugged. I don't know. You broke my record, Zack said like a total douche, making a disgusted face. That means I have to have another turn. I'm sorry if you can hear the dryer in the background. I'm doing laundry, obviously, because I finally have some time to do shit. No way! Lefty shouted. It's my turn next. None of you are listening to me, April cried. Answer my question. What if one of you is invisible and the lights won't go out? You know, a wise man named Morrissey once said, there is a light that never goes out. I used to be friends with it. I guess I'm still friendly with it. I just went to a wedding where she was there with a girl named Brooke who had there is a light that never goes out tattooed in her chest. Like, seeing people used to get the cursive thing across your chest. I don't get that. But then again, I have a Star Trek neck tattoo, so I should just kill myself. That won't happen, Zack told her. He pulled a string from his pocket. Here, I'm going to tie this tightly to the chain. He climbed up on the box and began to work. Pull the string, the light goes out, he told April. No problem. Which one of us is going to be the first to get invisible, then go outside? Aaron asked. I want to go to school and terrorize Miss Hawkins, Lefty said, snickering. Miss Hawkins is his social studies teacher. Social studies is just history, right? What is social studies? I know I took it, but I don't remember anything about school. School sucks. Teachers suck. I have friends that like grew up to be teachers, and that's terrible. I don't get anyone that wants to have a job where you go from preschool to kindergarten to elementary school to junior high to high school to college to grad school to back to school, and you never know about the private sector and how life works. It's fucking stupid. Teachers suck. School sucks. All I did was learn how to read Goosebumps. And apparently, my teacher friend just told me they're reading that in third grade, so I should have dropped out after that and just kept focusing on Goosebumps. I would be literally 100 air. She's been terrorizing me ever since school started. Wouldn't it be cool to just sneak up behind her and say, Hi, Miss Hawkins. And she'd turn around and there'd be no one there. That's not very exciting. You need to put acid in her coffee. That's the best you can do? Aaron scoffed like Dune.
Lefty, where's your imagination? Don't you want to make the chalk fly out of her hand? And the chalkboard erasers fly across the room? And the wastebasket spill everything onto her desk? And her yogurt fly in her face looking all like skeet? Yeah, that'd be way cool!
Lefty exclaimed. I laughed. It was a funny idea. The four of us could go around, completely invisible, doing whatever we wanted.
And we could wreck the whole school in 10 minutes. Everyone would be screaming and running out the doors. What a goof!
I don't think you could describe that post-school shootings.
We can't do it now, Lefty said, interrupting my thoughts, because it's my turn to beat the record. He turned back to April, who was standing tensely by the door, pulling at a strand of her black hair, a worried frown on her face.
Ready to time me?
I guess, she replied, sighing. Lefty pushed me out of the way, presumably with his left hand, and stepped in front of the mirror, staring at his reflection and reaching for the string.
I like that Lefty's a nickname when you have nothing else going on in your life. Like, what, 10% of people are left-handed? It's not like that's incredibly, you know, specific to you. But again, I guess people are called Rusty that have red hair. What percentage of people have that? And again, I guess most people are Asian and Indian, so it's very rare. The world's crazy. India sucks.
Chapter 14, which is probably the age of consent in India, because they're all a bunch of savages, yeah.
I like how they go after Indians. Aren't they, like, way more enlightened than us? They have, like, actual religious views that they hold highly and participate in, and I don't believe in anything. I barely believe in gravity.
Lefty! A voice shouted from behind us. Lefty!
Startled by the interruption, I uttered an alarmed cry. Lefty stepped back from the mirror.
Lefty, tell your brother his friends have to leave. It's dinner time. Grammy and Poppy are here. They're eager to see you.
Ah, Mom, calling up from downstairs. Stupid Grammy and stupid Poppy. Poppy's probably got those weird ear hairs that stick out all hard and Dune. Hopes he never gets ear hairs, and if he does, he's getting them laser removed because they're icky.
Okay, Mom, we'll be right down, I shouted quickly.
I didn't want her to come up.
But that's not fair, Lefty whined. I didn't get my turn.
He stepped back up to the mirror and angrily grabbed for the string again.
Put it down, I told him sternly, as if talking to a dog eating chocolate.
We have to go downstairs, quick. We don't want Mom or Dad coming up here and seeing the fucking mirror, do we?
Okay, Lefty grumbled, but next time, I get to go first.
And then me, Zach said, heading toward the stairs. I get a chance to beat your record, Max. Everybody stop talking about it,
I warned as we all clumped down the stairs.
Talk about something else. We don't want them to overhear anything. Can we come over tomorrow?
Aaron asked.
We could start up the contest again.
I'm busy tomorrow, April said, because she's all grumpy and doesn't like fucking magic. You know? Who doesn't like magic? I guess I don't, because I'm such a bummer and I just keep hating on India.
We can't do it tomorrow, I replied. We're visiting my cousins in Springfield.
I was sorry they'd leave me.
My cousins have this humongous sheepdog that likes to run through the mud and then jump on me and wipe its hairy paws and presumably shit all over my clothes.
Not my good idea. Not my idea of a good time.
Nailed it. There's no school on Wednesday, Zach said. Teachers' meetings, I think. Maybe we could all come over on Wednesday.
Maybe, I said. We stepped into the hallway. Everybody stopped talking. I could see that my grandparents and parents were already sitting at the dining room table.
Grammy and Poppy liked to eat promptly, so they could keep their poo-poo regulated. If their dinner came 1 minute late,
it made them real cranky for the rest of the day, because they're horrible people and didn't learn to appreciate life, even though they're really knocking on death's door.
Dear God, 1 minute late on food? Why don't you appreciate the good things in life? Dear God, this book was written in the 90s. You lived through the fucking Holocaust, you pricks.
I ushered my friends out quickly, reminding them not to tell anyone about what we'd been doing. Zach asked again if Wednesday would be okay, and again I told him I wasn't sure.
Getting invisible was really exciting, really thrilling, but it also made me nervous. I wasn't sure I wanted to do it again so soon. I do commend this book, which, by the way, I think it's in the first 10, on being actually interesting and unique for Goosebumps. You know, the plot is, you know, very unique to what it is. That's all. Thank you, R.L. Stein. You're a great man. Please, Zack begged. He couldn't wait to get invisible again and beat my record. He couldn't stand it that he wasn't the champ. I closed the front door behind them and hurried to the dining room to greet my grandparents. They were already slurping their soup when I came in. Hi, Grammy. Hi, Poppy. Hi, Poppy's weird ear hair. I walked around the table and gave them each a kiss on the cheek. Grammy smelled of oranges. Her cheek felt soft and mushy. Ugh, decomposition. Ugh. Grammy and Poppy are the names I gave them when I was a kid. It's really embarrassing to call them that now, but I still do. I don't have much of a choice. They even call each other Grammy and Poppy in Poppy's ear hair. They look alike, almost like brother and sister. Ugh, that's a family secret. But still, not a family secret, is my mom's sister is married to my dad's brother. That's all. It's the same thing. I know I've described it on here before, but it's still interesting where it's the same thing as if you're brothers and you go out on a date with a hot broad and then you're like, ooh, does she have a sister? And you go, yes, actually she does. And then you all get married. That's all. I love my family. I really, you know, like we just had the wedding thing and it's like, oh God, it's so nice. First off, they do like the dance at the wedding where it's like, where it's like they keep keeping people on the dance floor and just go up year after year or whatever to see who's been married the longest. And it was a little bit later, so the old people had left the wedding already, but my parents had been there the longest, and it was fucking cool as hell to me. Like I cried a little. I cried during the goddamn ceremony like crazy. I was standing up there as the best man handing the rings and just sobbing. God, I love my brother. But the point is, I don't know, point is I have a really good family, and how did I end up so fucked up? Steel Reserve. I guess that's what happens when you've been married 100 years. They both have long, thin faces and short white hair. They both wear thick glasses with silver wire frames. They're both really skinny, and they both have sad eyes and sad expressions. Dear God, that's depressing. I didn't feel like sitting there at dinner and making small talk with them today. I was still really pumped about what we'd been doing all afternoon. Being invisible was just so weird and exciting. I wanted to be by myself and think about it, you know? Try to relive it, relive what it felt like. A lot of times, after I've done something really exciting or interesting, I like to go up to my room, lie down on my bed, and just think about it, analyze it, tear it apart. Wow. Kids do really interesting stuff before they discover masturbation. Dad says I have a very scientific mind. I guess he's right. I walked over to my place at the table. You're looking much shorter, Poppy said, wiping his mouth with his cloth napkin. That was one of his standard jokes. He said it every time he saw me. I forced a laugh and sat down. Dude, Max, they're gonna be dead pretty soon. You should appreciate them. I don't got any living grandparents. I got a step-grandma, and that's it. Old Dune. Your soup must be ice cold by now, Grammy said, clicking her tongue. Nothing I hate more than cold soup. I mean, what's the point of having soup if it isn't steaming hot? It tastes okay, I said, taking a spoonful. We had some delicious cold soup last summer, Poppy said. Hey, he loved to contradict Grammy and start arguments with her. Strawberry soup, remember? You wouldn't want that hot, would you? It wasn't strawberry, asshole, Grammy told him, frowning. It wasn't even soup. It was some kind of fancy yogurt, you fucking old prick. No, it wasn't, Poppy insisted. It was definitely cold soup. You're wrong as usual, limp dick, Grammy snapped. This could get ugly, I thought. What kind of soup is this? I asked, trying to stop their arguing. Chicken noodle, faggot, Mom answered. Didn't you recognize it? Poppy and I had soup a few weeks ago that we couldn't recognize, my grandmother said, shaking her head. I had to ask the waiter what it was. It didn't look like what we'd ordered at all. Some kind of potato leek soup, wasn't it, Poppy? And they all asked for soup. Grammy asked, and Mommy asked, and they even inquired about soup, That was a Meters song about soup. I changed it. I'm like Weird Al. I take good songs, and then I make them about food, and then idiots like it. Poppy took a long time swallowing some noodles. No, tomato, he answered. Where's your brother? Dad asked, staring at the empty chair next to me.
Huh?
I reacted with surprise. I had been so busy listening to my grandparents' silly soup arguments, I'd forgotten all about Lefty. Now I'm gonna have some water instead of Steel Reserve. His soup is getting cold, Poppy said. You'll have to heat it up for him, Grammy said, tisk-tisking again. So where is he? Dad asked. I shrugged. He was right behind me, I said. I turned toward the dining room doorway and shouted, Lefty! Lefty! Does he have a specific call? Because I have a specific call for all my pets. Watch. Franklin! That's why I call Franklin. Mimi! That's how I call Scarlet, even though I call her Mimi. And Yodi, I like this. Yodi! I'm just saying, if you ever come over and you want to call my pets, that's how you do it. Don't shout at the table, Mom scolded. Get up and go find that motherfucker.
Is there any more soup?
Poppy's ear hair asked. I didn't really get enough. I put my napkin down and started to get up, but before I was out of my chair, I saw Lefty's soup bowl rise up in the fucking air, all Harry Potter style. Uh-uh, I thought. I knew instantly what was happening. My idiot, faggot brother had made himself invisible, and now he thought he was being funny, trying to scare the daylights out of everyone at the table. The soup bowl floated up over Lefty's place. I stood up and lunged for it. I pulled it down as fast as I could. Get out, I whispered loudly to Lefty.
What did you say?
My mom asked me. What the fuck was that? My mom asked me, gaping at me. I said I'm getting out and going to find Lefty, I told her, thinking quickly.
Get out now,
I whispered to Lefty. Stop talking about finding him. Just do it, you idiot, my mom said impatiently. I stood up just as my dumb invisible brother raised his water glass. The glass floated up over the table. I gasped and grabbed for it, but I grabbed too hard and I jerked the glass, spilling water all over the table.
Hey! Mom screamed.
I pulled the glass down to its place. Then I looked up. Dad was glaring at me, his eyes burning angrily into mine. He knows, I thought, a heavy feeling of dread sweeping over me. He saw what just happened and he knows. Lefty has spoiled it for everyone. I was trying to think up a catchy song melody to apply to chapter 15, because when I started doing Reed's Goosebumps, I would often do it in the parody or style of another thing where I'd be like, chapter, and it'd be like a Misfit song or something, but I realized that's a waste of time, and I stopped doing that about the time where I stopped stopping the track whenever I fucked up. So now it's more raw, you know? You know, Dune Reads Goosebumps director's cut, but there's only one cut, unless you guys want to re-edit these, which would be terrible. Chapter 15. That worked. Dad glared angrily across the table at me. I waited for him to say, Max, why is your brother invisible? But instead, he yelled, Stop fooling around, Max. We don't appreciate your comedy act. Just get up and find your fucking brother. I was so relieved. Dad hadn't realized what was really happening, after all. Obviously, why would he suspect his son was invisible? Your dad's clearly, like, what, in his late 30s, early 40s? He understands, like, physics and shit? He thought I was just goofing. Is there seconds on the soup? I heard Poppy ask again, as I gratefully pushed away from the table and hurried out of the dining room. You've had enough, Grammy scolded. You always piss the fucking bed when you have too much soup, old man. At least your dick's good for something. No, I haven't, and it's good for plenty of things. I made my way through the living room, taking long strides, climbing to the second floor, and stopped in the hallway at the door to the attic stairs. Lefty, I whispered, I hope you followed me.
I'm here,
Lefty whispered back. I couldn't see him, of course, but he was right beside me. What's the big idea? I demanded angrily. I wasn't angry, I was furious. Too fast, too furious. I've only seen the first one of those movies, but that was enough, right? I don't enjoy car races. You know? So I should be fine. I don't need to actually watch those, do I? Are you trying to win the stupid championship? Lefty didn't care that I was upset. He started to giggle. Shut up, I whispered. Just shut up. You really are a dork. I clicked on the attic light and clomped angrily up the stairs. I could hear his sneakers clomping up behind me. I was still giggling. He was still giggling at the top of the stairs. I win, he declared. I felt a hand slap me hard on the back. Stop it, jerk! I screamed, storming into the little room that housed the mirror. Don't you realize you nearly spoiled it for everybody? But I win, he repeated gleefully. The lamp over the mirror was shining brightly, the reflection glaring sun yellow in the mirror. I really couldn't believe Lefty. He was usually a pretty selfish kid, but not this selfish. He's so selfish he became a shellfish. I just added that. It added nothing to the story. Don't you realize the trouble you could have gotten us into? I cried. I win. I win. He chanted. Why? How long have you been invisible? I asked. I stepped up to the mirror and pulled the string. The light went out. The glare remained in my eyes. Ever since you guys went downstairs. Lefty, still invisible, bragged. That's almost 10 fucking minutes. I exclaimed. I'm the champ. Lefty proclaimed. I stared into the mirror, waiting for him to reappear. The stupidity champ, I repeated like a dumb kid. Wait, I like how I call him dumb for saying stupidity champ when I'd be like, the Gaylord champ, and I'm 28. Oh god, I'm 28 and still reading Goosebumps. This was the dumbest thing you've ever done. He didn't say anything. Finally, he asked in a quiet voice. Why is it taking so long for me to come back? Before I could answer, I heard Dad calling from downstairs. Max, are you two up there? Yeah, we'll be right down, I shouted. What are you two doing up there? Dad demanded. I heard him start to climb the stairs. I ran to the top of the stairs to head him off. Sorry, Dad, I said. We're coming. Phrasing. Dad stared up at me in the stairwell. What on earth is so interesting up there? Just a lot of old stuff, I muttered. Nothing, really. Lefty appeared behind me, looking like his old self. Dad disappeared back to the dining room. Lefty and I started down the stairs. Holy fucking shit, that was goddamn shit fucking awesome, Lefty exclaimed. Didn't you start to feel weird after a while? I asked him, whispering, even though we were alone. No. He shook his head. I felt fine. It was really awesome. You should have seen the look on your face when I made that soup bowl float up in the air. He started giggling again. That high-pitched giggle of his that I hate. I think I heard my neighbor coming up the stairs, which is really funny if they heard me do that. Because I'm right by the front door, kind of. I'm in my living room. Listen, Lefty, I warned, stopping at the bottom of the stairs, blocking his way to the hallway. Getting invisible is fun, but it could be dangerous. It's awesome, he repeated, ignoring my after-school special. Oh, huffing's bad. If huffing's bad, then why is it so rad? Checkmate. And I'm the new champ. Listen to me, I said heatedly, grabbing him by the shoulders. Just listen. You've got to promise me that you won't go up there and get invisible by yourself again. I mean it. You've got to wait till someone else is around. Promise? I squeezed his shoulders hard. Okay, okay, he said, trying to squirm away. I promise. I looked down. He had his fingers crossed on both hands as if he were Tupac in every interview. West side, please don't shoot me. And then Tupac got shot. Okay? Did you learn nothing from Tupac? You know who's better than Tupac? Fucking Shock G, who produced his first album from Digital Underground. Okay. There's a drinking break here, by the way. The little extra indented paragraph. I always say drinking break, assuming that everyone's listened to every episode where I decided it was a drinking break. A drinking break is not where it's a new chapter, but where there's an extra space to show that time goes by. So add some water. now at the very bottom of Steel Reserve. Aaron called me later that night. It was about 11. I was in my pajamas, reading a book in bed, thinking about going downstairs and begging my parents to let me stay up and watch Saturday Night Live. What year did this come out? Was Saturday Night Live good then? Has it ever been good? It's sure as fuck not good now. Aaron sounded really excited. I think I just say that because I don't like sketch comedy, so I'm just a jaded prick anyway. He didn't even say hello, just started talking a mile a minute in that squeaky mouse voice. So fast, I had trouble understanding her. I think I said him at one point. What about the science fair? I asked, holding the phone away from my ear, hoping that would help me understand her better. The winning project? Aaron said breathlessly. The prize is a silver trophy and a gift certificate to Video World, remember? Yeah, so what? Like 10 years from now, you'll be able to download every movie ever for free and it'll be great quality. You can just fucking plug it in with a USB drive. Who cares about a Video World gift card unless you're talking about fucking arcade? If that's the case, then that's a different situation. However, video games will be much better and I should fucking be playing Wind Waker HD right now, but instead I'm doing goddamn Goosebumps. I still wasn't following her. I think I was sleepier than I'd thought. It had been a nervous, tiring day, after all. Well, what if you brought the mirror to school? Aaron asked excitedly. You know, I would make you go invisible, then I'd bring you back, and I'd get invisible. That could be our project. But Aaron, I started to protest. Magic isn't science, okay? What are you, Christian? We'd win, she interrupted. We'd have to win. I mean, what else could beat it? We'd win first prize and be famous. Whoa, I cried, famous? Of course famous, she exclaimed. Our picture would be in People magazine and everything. Aaron, I'm not so sure about this, I said softly, thinking hard. Huh? Not so sure about what? Not so sure I want to be famous. Wow. That's a very healthy thing to say, unlike everyone that was born in the 90s or 2000s where they all feel obligated to be famous. I just feel obligated to fucking drink booze. Watch Archer with my girl. I mean, I really don't know if I want the whole world to know about the mirror. Why not? She demanded impatiently. Everyone wants to be famous and rich and have 40 million Instagram followers. Bang, I'm gonna post my boobs right now. I need attention. And they'll take away the mirror, I explained. It's an amazing thing, Aaron. I mean, is it magic? Is it electronic? Is it someone's invention? Whatever it is, it's un-be-fucking-leavable. And they're not going to let a kid keep it. But it's yours, she insisted. They'll take it away to study it, like fucking E.T. Scientists will want it. Government guys will want it. Army motherfuckers. They'll probably want to use it to make the army invisible or some shit. Scary. Aaron mumbled thoughtfully. Yeah, scary, I said. So I don't know. I've got to think about it. A lot. In the meantime, it's got to be a secret. Yeah, I guess, she said doubtfully. Mrs. Doubtfully. But think about the science fair, Max. We could win the prize. We really could. Are you gonna rat out the coolest thing that's ever existed? A mirror that makes you invisible? So you could win a elementary school science? You need to prioritize, bitch. No one cares about elementary school or the people in it. I'll think about it, I told her. I haven't thought about anything else, I realized. April wants to try it, she said. Huh? I convinced her. I told her it didn't hurt or anything, so she wants to try it on Wednesday. We are going to do it on Wednesday, aren't we, Max? I guess, I replied reluctantly, since everybody wants to. Great, she exclaimed. I think I'll beat your record. The new record is 10 minutes, I informed her. I explained about Lefty and his dinner dime adventure. Your brother's really a nut, Aaron remarked. I agreed with her, then said good night. I couldn't get to sleep that night. I tried sleeping on one side, then the other side. I tried counting sheep. I tried everything. I know I just went on a rant about this, but I don't think it was on this podcast, so... Maybe I did. Maybe it's the last episode and I'm just going to make it redundant. Oh, alcohol. Making me able to appreciate things twice but tell the same story twice as well. Because of memory loss. I can't think in pictures. We've already gone over this numerous times. I just think in full sentences. And when I was a kid, they were talking about counting sheep to go to sleep. So I would sit there and just go, one sheep, two sheep, three sheep, four sheep, and just say that again in my head. And it didn't help anything. I don't know why. I'm an idiot. That's the point. The point is, I'm an idiot. And then I spent my teenagers just thinking about killing people in my sleep, and that helped me go to sleep, and that's nice. I tried sleeping on one side, then the other. I tried counting sheep, everything. I knew I was sleepy, but my heart was racing. I just couldn't get comfortable. I stared up at the ceiling, thinking about the mirror in the little room above me. It was nearly 3 in the morning when I crept barefoot out of my room, wide awake, and headed up to the attic. As before, I leaned heavily on the banister as I climbed, trying to keep the wooden stairs from their usual symphony of squeaks and doops and wop 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 wops and rat-na-da-da-da-da. Hey, Skrillex, you can have that song. I just wrote it for you. No problem. Free of charge. In my hurry to get the little room, I stubbed my toe on the corner of a wooden crate. Owzers! I screamed as quietly as possible. I wanted to hop up and down and buck-buck you down. Something, something, put out your head, then wake up in the dawn of the dead? Is that how jump around goes? But I forced myself to stand still and waited for the pain to fade. As soon as I could walk again, I made my way into the little room. I pulled a curtain in front of the mirror and sat down on it. My toes still throbbed, but I ignored that bitch. It's just the little piggy that went wee 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 all the way home. It's not any significant one. It's not the one you use to pick up your socks on the floor. I stared at my dark reflection in the mirror, studying my hair first, of course. It was totally messed up, but I didn't give a shit. Then I peered beyond my own reflection, behind it. I guess I was trying to look deep into the glass. I don't really know what I was trying to do or why I was up there. I was so tired and pumped at the same time, so curious and confused, sleepy and nervous. So many goddamn adjectives. I ran a hand along the glass, surprised again at how cool it felt under the hot. In the hot, nearly airless little room. I pushed my open hand against the glass, then I pulled it away. It left no handprint, like the fucking grip of a Tech 9. I moved my hand to the wooden frame, once again rubbing the smooth wood. I stood up and slowly walked around to the back of the mirror. It was too dark back there to really examine it carefully, but there wasn't anything to examine. The back of the frame was smooth, plain, and uninteresting. That's how everyone should look at little boys. Pedophiles. Smooth, plain, and uninteresting. Not attractive. Need curvy bitches. I came back around to the front and gazed at the light. It looked like an ordinary lamp. Nothing at all special about it. The bulb was an odd shape. Well, I guess that is something special about it. Long and very thin, but it looked like an ordinary light bulb. Sitting back down on the carton, I rested my head in my hands and stared drowsily into the mirror. I yawned silently. I was going to let out a yawning sound, but then I realized it said silently, so now I'm just explaining that I'm not letting out a yawning sound at all. I knew I should go back downstairs and go to sleep. Mom and Dad were going to wake us up early in the morning to drive to Springfield. I like Springfield. I got a Simpsons tattoo. I hate myself. But something was holding me there. My curiosity, I guess. I don't know how long I sat there, still as a statue, watching my own unmoving reflection. It may have been just a minute or two, or it might have been half an hour. But after a while, I stared into the mirror. The reflection seemed to lose its sharpness. Now, I found myself staring at vague shapes, blurred colors, deepening shadows, and then I heard the soft whisper, "Max." Like the wind through the trees, the hushed shaking of leaves. Holy fuck, so, girlfriend and I went out to dinner. It's been hot as balls. And it's just been miserable. If you've heard anything in the news about LA or San Diego recently, it's just been fucking unbearably hot. And, girlfriend and I went out to dinner at Nobu. Ooh, Nobu's so good. You gotta look up Nobu. They got one of them in LA and New York and San Diego. I don't know. Whatever. We went out to dinner for like anniversary stuff and got back.
to our place in Mission Valley, San Diego. That's the area. I live by the Chargers Stadium. And apparently a crazy fucking storm had hit everything. So lightning struck and bounced from tree to tree. So the trees right by where I would have parked my car were completely collapsed, like into the middle of the fucking street. And just tons of trees knocked over and lightning and this and that. And people have been fixing it for days. But the point is, how fucking crazy is that? We left for dinner, everything was fine, came home and it looked like a fucking tornado hit, and it kind of sprinkled a little bit where we were downtown, but fucking lightning struck the tree that's, I don't know, 60 yards from where I am right now. It's fucking crazy. Like wind with the trees, and hush, shaking of leaves, not a voice at all, not even a whisper, just the hint of a whisper. Max. At first, I thought it was inside my own head. So faint, so soft, but so near. I held my breath, listening hard. Silence now. So it was inside my head. I told myself I was imagining it. I took a deep breath, let it out slowly. Max. Again, the whisper, louder this time. Sad, somehow almost a plea. A call for help from far, far away. Max! I raised my hands to my ears. Was I trying to shut it out? To see if I could make it go away? Inside the mirror, the dark, reflected shape shifted slowly. I stared back at myself, my expression tense, frightened. I realized I was chilled from head to foot. My whole body shivered from the cold. Max! The whisper, I realized, was coming from the mirror, from my own reflection, from somewhere behind my reflection? I leaped to my feet, turned away and ran. My bare feet slapped against the hardwood floor. I plunged down the stairs, flew across the hall, and dived into bed. I shut my eyes tight and prayed the frightening whisper wouldn't follow me. All right. Had a shower beer first, then had the steel reserve. I haven't really eaten much. About to have the second steel reserve right now, which means it's 1:30. I've resolved to possibly need a nap after this. Oh, tall cans. Speaking of tall cans, Afro Man played in San Diego last night, and I didn't go. Should have gone. That sweet malt liquor. Chapter number 16. Oh. I pulled the covers up to my chin. I felt so cold, my entire body was trembling, as if I was detoxing from dope. I was breathing hard, gripping the top of my blanket with both hands, waiting and listening. Would the whispers follow me into my room? Were they real, or only in my head? Who was calling me, whispering my name in that sad, desperate voice? Dune. Suddenly, I heard panting louder than mine. I felt hot breath in my face, sour, smelling, and moist. It reached for me. It grabbed my face. I opened my eyes in terror. Whitey, I cried. The dumb dog was standing on his hind paws, leaning over the blanket, furiously licking my face. Oh, Franklin, you dogs. Franklin, look at me. You're not going to look at me. You pointed your ear towards me. I know you're listening. Look at me. Fucking prick. Whitey, good dog. Franklin, you're a good dog, too. I cried, laughing. His scratchy tongue tickled. I was never so glad to see him. I hugged him and pulled him up into the bed. He whimpered excitedly. His tail was wagging like crazy. Whitey, what's got you so worked up? I asked, hugging him. Do you hear voices, too? Are you getting childhood onset schizophrenia? Are you going to end up like Wesley Willis? He uttered a low bark, as if asking a question. Rawr? Then he hopped off the bed and shook himself. He turned three times in a tight circle. Whitey had obsessive compulsive disorder. If he didn't turn in a circle, the whole family would die. Making a place for himself on the carpet and lay down, yawning loudly. You're definitely weird tonight, I said. He curled himself into a tight ball and chewed softly on his tail. Accompanied by the dog's gentle snores, I eventually drifted into a restless sleep. When I awoke, the morning sky outside my bedroom window was still gray. The window was open just a crack, and the curtains were swaying in a strong breeze. I sat up quickly, instantly alert.
I have to stop going up to the attic, I thought. I have to forget about the stupid mirror. I stood up and stretched. I've got to stop, and I've got to get everyone else to stop. I thought of the whispered cry from the night before. The dry, sad voice whispering my name. Max! The voice outside my room startled me, out of my chilling thoughts. Max, time to wake up. We're going to Springfield, remember? It was my mom, out in the hallway. Hurry, breakfast is on the table. I'm already up, I shouted, referencing my morning wood. I'll be down in a minute, I said, also referencing my morning wood. I heard her footsteps going down the stairs. Then I heard Whitey, downstairs, barking at the door to be let out. I stretched again. Whoa! I cried out as my closet door swung open. A red Gap t-shirt rose up off the top shelf and began to float across the room. I heard giggling. Familiar giggling. The t-shirt danced in front of me. Lefty, you're ridiculous, I yelled angrily. I swiped at the t-shirt, but it danced out of my reach. You promised you wouldn't do this again. I had my fingers crossed, he said, as if that was legally binding, giggling. I don't give a shit, I cried. I lunged forward and grabbed the shirt. You've got to stop, I mean it. I just wanted to surprise you, he said, pretending his feelings were hurt. A pair of jeans floated up from the closet shelf and began to parade back and forth in front of me. Lefty, I'm going to murder you. Murder was in italics, Jesus Christ, I shouted, and then I lowered my voice, remembering that Mom and Dad might hear. Put that down now. Go upstairs. Turn off the mirror light. Hurry. I shook my fist at where the jeans were marching. I was so fucking angry. Why do you have to be so dumb? Why didn't you realize that this wasn't just a game? Suddenly, the jeans collapsed on a heap in the carpet. Lefty tossed them to me. Oh. Lefty, toss them to me, I instructed. It's like I missed those quotes completely. Get upstairs. I did it again. All right, dude. Maybe she'll lay off the... No, I should never lay off the malt liquor. Hold up. Then get upstairs and get yourself visible again. Silence. The jeans didn't move. Lefty, don't fool around, I snapped, feeling a stab of dread in the pit of my stomach. Possibly diarrhea. Toss me the jeans and get out of here. No reply. The jeans remained crumpled on the carpet. Stop this stupid game, I screamed. You're not funny, okay? You're no Carrot Top, so just stop it. Really, you're scaring me. I knew that's what he wanted to hear. Once I admitted that he was scaring me, I was sure he'd giggle and go do as I said. But no. The room was still silent. The curtains fluttered toward me, then pulled back with a gentle rustling sound. The jeans lay crumpled on the carpet. Lefty? Hey? Lefty? I called, my voice trembling, no reply. Lefty? Are you here? No. Lefty was gone. Chapter number 17! Lefty? My voice came out weak and trembling. He wasn't there. It wasn't a game. He was gone. Without thinking, I ran out of my room, down the hall, and up the stairs, and around the corner, there's a boner to the attic. My bare feet pounded on the steep wooden steps. My heart was pounding even louder as I stepped into the heat of the attic. A wave of fear swept over me. What if Lefty had disappeared forever? What a frightening cry. I lunged into the tiny room. The bright light reflected in the mirror, shone into my eyes. Shielding my eyes with one hand, I made my way to the mirror and pulled the string. The light went out immediately. Lefty! I called anxiously. Why'd you look up, Yoda? Your name's Yoda. Pets are fun. No reply. Lefty, are you up here? Can you hear me? Fear clogged my throat. I was panting loudly, barely able to speak. Lefty! Hi, Max, I'm here. My brother's voice came from the right beside me. I was so happy to hear it, I turned and gave him a hug, even though I couldn't see him. "I'm okay," he said, startled by my emotion. "Really, Max, I'm okay." It took a few minutes for him to reappear.
"What happened?"
I asked, checking him out, looking him up and down, as if I hadn't seen him for months.
"You were clowning around in my room, and then you were gone."
"I'm fine," he insisted with a shrug.
"Jesus. But where'd you go?"
I demanded.
"Up here,"
he repeated.
"But Lefty, something about him looked different. I couldn't quite place my finger on it, but staring at his face, I was sure that something was weird."
"Stop staring at me like that, Max." He shoved me away.
"I'm fine, really."
He started dancing away from me, heading to the stairs.
"But Lefty..."
I followed him out of the room.
"No more questions, okay? I'm all right."
"Stay away from the mirror," I said, Howard, sternly.
Do you hear me?"
He started down the stairs.
"I mean it, Lefty. Don't
get invisible again." That sounds like the sequel to this book should be called that.
Okay, he snapped. "I won't do it anymore."
I checked to make sure his fingers weren't crossed. This time, they weren't. Mom was waiting for us in the hall.
"So there you are," she said impatiently. "Max, you're not dressed."
What? I bet he's wearing pajamas still, rather than my initial thought and her initial joke, which I'm not going to say anymore. Oh, Sam Skills is calling me. All right, excellent. Sam Skills and I have a new website idea that we're going to go through, and Alex is going to come over tonight, and hopefully he'll work on it, too. This is excellent. It's a very good plan. Anyway, Max, you're not
dressed. I'll
hurry, I told her, and bolted into my
room. Lefty, what did you do to your
hair? I heard Mom ask my
brother. Did you brush it differently or
something? No, he said. I heard Lefty reply. Sorry.
"It's the same, Mom, really.
Maybe your eyes are different, bitch."
"Stop being such a smartass and get the fuck downstairs," Mom told him.
Something was definitely weird about Lefty. Mom had noticed it too.
"Oh my god, Lefty's gonna become a mirror version of himself. That's why his name's Lefty. He's gonna end up being right-handed, and that's how they're gonna know the difference. That's why they call him Lefty. R.L. Stein, you're so smart. That's what's different about Lefty. God damn, I'm good at this."
By the way, every time I know the ending of it, it's always wrong. So, never mind, I did not spoil anything. Plus, I've never read this book, obviously.
Mom had noticed it too, but I couldn't figure out what. As I picked my jeans up off the floor and pulled them on, I started to feel a little better. I had been so frightened that something terrible had happened to my brother, frightened that he'd disappeared for good and I'd never see him again, all because of that stupid mirror, all because it was such a thrill to get invisible. I suddenly thought about Aaron, April, and Zach. They were so excited about Wednesday, about the big competition. Even April was going to get invisible this time. No, I thought. I have to call them. I have to tell them. I've really made up my mind. No more mirror. No more getting invisible. I'll call all three of them when I get back from Springfield, and I'll tell them the competition is canceled. I sat down on my bed to tie my sneakers. Whew, I thought, that's a load off my mind. And it was. Having decided not to use the mirror ever again made me feel much better. Much, much better. All of my fear seemed to float away. Little did I know, the most frightening time was still to come. So I made a post on the Dune Reads Goosebumps Facebook where I was like, "Hey, all y'all, I'm just posting this to let you know that fucking Let's Get Invisible Part 2 will definitely be up today." And then I deleted that because my girlfriend's like, "Hey, or my girlfriend's a tattoo artist, so she was tattooing someone who was like, I can't handle the pain, I quit. So she had a bunch of open time, and now I don't know if I'll have time alone to record. So I deleted that post that was guaranteeing I'll do that. So as long as you can delete your guarantee, you're fine. It doesn't actually count. Chapter 18. Imagine my surprise when Zach, Aaron, and April showed up at my front door on Wednesday morning. I told you guys to fuck off,
I sputtered, staring at them in astonishment through the screen door.
But Lefty called us,
Aaron replied. Probably because Lefty wants to switch all them out with mere universe versions of themselves so they could take over.
He said you changed your mind.
The other two agreed. My mouth dropped open to my knees.
Lefty?
I bet his mouth didn't really drop to his knees. There's no way of knowing, though, so I guess we'll just stick with R.L. Stine and say it actually went all the way to his knees.
They nodded.
He called us yesterday, April said. But Lefty isn't even here this morning, I told them as they marched into the house. He's at the playground playing softball with some of his friends.
That's it, he's probably recruiting mirror kids.
Who's here? My mom called. She came walking into the hallway, drying her hands on the dish towel. More like the bitch towel when she touches it. Up top, she recognized my friends, then turned to me, a bewildered look on her face.
Max, I thought you were going to help me down in the basement. I didn't know you had made plans with Zach, Aaron, and April.
I didn't, I replied weakly.
Lefty?
We just dropped by, Zach told my mom, coming to my rescue.
If you're busy, Max, we can go, Aaron added.
No, that's okay, Mom told them. Max was complaining about how boring it would be to help me, so I guess it's good you three showed up. I'll just, you know, work on it alone, because I'm a mother and I don't have a life anymore. Because my goddamn soul-crushing kids, so I'll just work my ass off while you guys do whatever you guys do upstairs.
God, I wanted to be a writer.
She disappeared back into the kitchen. Joke. As soon as she was gone, my three friends practically pounced on me.
Upstairs, Zach cried eagerly, pointing to the stairs. Let's get invisible,
Aaron whispered, clearly reading the book title.
I get to go first since I've never gone, April said. I tried to argue with them, but I was outnumbered and outvoted.
Okay, I reluctantly agreed.
I started to follow them up the stairs when I heard a scratching noise at the door. I recognized the sound. It was Whitey, back from his morning walk. I pushed open the screen door and he trotted in, wagging his tail. The dumb dog had some burrs stuck to his tail.
Why is he dumb? He's a dog. I don't like these people that just judge people and dogs and stuff. I like dogs a lot more than I like people.
I chased him into the kitchen and managed to get him to stand just long enough to pull them off. Then I hurried up to the attic to join my friends. By the time I got up there, April was already standing in front of the mirror. Zach was standing behind her, ready to pull the light on.
Whoa!
I called. They turned to look at me. I could see that April had a frightened expression on her face.
I have to do this right away, or else I might wimp out. She explained.
I just think we should get the rules straight first, I said sternly. This mirror isn't a toy. And
we know,
Zach interrupted, like the kind of guy that gets you guys into some sort of DUI accident and he's a jerk and you shouldn't hang out with people like him. Grinning.
Come on, Max. No lectures today, okay?
We know you're nervous because you're gonna lose. But that's no reason. I don't want to compete, April said nervously.
I just want to see what it's like to be invisible for just a minute. Then I want to come back.
Well, I'm going for the world's record, Zach boasted, leaning against the mirror frame.
Me too,
Aaron said. I did that thing where you point with your thumb at yourself in a very exaggerated school play style way when I said me too. Just letting you know that I'm very into the acting part of Goosebumps.
I really don't think it's a good idea, I told them, staring at my reflection in the mirror. We should just get invisible for a short time. It's too dangerous to...
What a wimp, Zach declared, shaking his head.
Come on. And by the way, gay stuff isn't gay when you're invisible, wink.
We'll be careful, Max, Aaron said.
I just have a really bad feeling,
I confessed. My hair was standing up in the back. I stepped closer to the mirror to see better and smoothed it down with my hand.
I think we should all get invisible at the same time, Zach said to me, his blue eyes lighting up with excitement. Then we could go to the playground and scare your brother to death and just like kiss each other and stuff, even though we're just both guys, because it's not gay if you're invisible.
Everyone laughed, except April.
I just want to try for a minute, she insisted, that's all. First, we compete,
Aaron told Zach. Then we go out and scare people.
Yeah, all right,
Zach exclaimed, lubing up. I decided to give up. There was no sense in trying to reason with Zach or Aaron.
Really? There's no sense in trying to save the lives of your friends?
They were too psyched for this competition.
Okay, let's get it over with, I told them. But first, I go, said April, turning back to the mirror.
Zach reached up for the string again.
Ready? On three,
he said. I turned to the door as Whitey came sniffing his way in, his nose lowered to the floor, his tail straight out behind him. Oh, God, they're going to get the dog, aren't they? The dog's going to be invisible. And then, wait, is this just the sequel to Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? Whatever. Whitey, what are you doing in here? I asked. He ignored me and continued sniffing furiously. One, two, Zach started. When I say ready, bring me back, okay? April asked, standing stiffly, staring straight ahead into the mirror. No jokes or any of your bullshit, Zach. No jokes, Zach replied softly. As soon as you want to come back, I'll turn on the light. Or turn it off. Either way, whatever works. Good, April replied softly. Zach began his countdown again. Or count up, I guess. One, two, three. As he said three and pulled the string, Whitey stepped up beside April. The light flashed on. Whitey! I screamed, stop! But it was too late. With a yelp of surprise, the dog vanished along with April. Franklin! Franklin just came back downstairs to watch me. He was laying in the sun upstairs. In this book, Franklin, they have a mirror that makes them invisible. He just burped while I was talking to him. And there's a dog in the book. And when they pulled it on, the dog disappeared just like the people. But the dog doesn't know any better. You know what I'm saying? He made eye contact with me the whole time and then sighed and put his head down. Dogs, they're so cute. Chapter 19, I've been recording this shit for like 4 hours. God damn, it's taking a whole day. The dog! Aaron screamed as Dune checked to make sure that Cool Edit was recording. Hey, I'm gone. I'm invisible, Aaron exclaimed at the same time. I could hear Whitey whimpering. He sounded really frightened. Pull the string, I shouted to Zach. Not yet, April protested. Pull it, I insisted. And farted when someone pulled my finger. Just kidding, that's not what's happening. Zach pulled the string. The light went out and April reappeared first, with an angry expression on her face. Whitey reappeared and fell down. He jumped up quickly, but his legs were all wobbly and shit. He looked so funny, we all started to laugh. Look at the helpless animal that we accidentally tortured. What's going on up there? My mom's voice from the stairwell startled us into instant silence. What are you doing? Nothing, Mom, I answered quickly, as I would do dozens more times in my teenage years, signaling for my friends to remain silent. Just hanging out, no gay stuff. I don't understand what's so interesting up there in that old dusty attic, she called. I crossed my fingers, hoping she wouldn't come upstairs to find out. We just like it up here, I replied. Pretty lame, but it was the only thing I could think to say. Whitey, having recovered his balance, went running down the stairs. I heard the dog's toenails click on the wooden stairs because we never get them cut because fuck that dog. As he went down to join my mom. That wasn't fair, April complained after Mom and Whitey were gone. I didn't get any time. I think we should get out of here, I pleaded. You see how unpredictable it is? You never know what's going to happen. That's sort of the fun of it, Aaron insisted. I want another turn, April said. We argued for about 10 minutes. Once again, I lost. Yeah, get used to arguing with women. You can't win, am I right, men? Welcome back to Home Improvement. It was time to start the competition. Aaron was going first. 10 minutes is the time to beat, Zach instructed her. No problem, Aaron said, making funny faces at herself in the mirror like Calvin. 10 minutes is too easy. April had resumed her position, sitting on the floor with her back against the wall, studying her watch. We had agreed that she would take another turn after the competition was over. After it was over, dot, dot, dot. Standing there watching Aaron get ready, I wished it were already over. I felt cold all over. I had a heavy feeling of dread weighing down on me. Please, please, I thought to myself, let everything go okay. Zach pulled the string. Aaron disappeared in the flash of light. April studied her watch. Zach took a step back from the mirror and crossed his arms in front of his chest. His eyes glowed with excitement. How do I look? Aaron teased.
You've never looked better, Zach joked, as he was clearly a homosexual.
I like what you did with your hair, April teased, glancing up from the watch.
Even April was joking and having a good time. Why couldn't I relax too? Why was I suddenly so frightened?
Well, Max, there's a mirror. You know, it's full of magic and shit and makes people disappear. And made your little brother all fucking wonky and shit. Obviously, you should be freaked out. Where are you, Steel Reserve?
You feel okay? I asked Aaron. The words nearly caught in my throat.
Fine, Aaron replied. I could hear her footsteps as she walked around the room.
If you start to feel weird, just say, ready, and Zach will pull the string, I said.
I know, she replied impatiently, but I won't be ready to come back until I break the record.
I'm going next. Zach got a text and told Aaron. Arms still crossed in front of him. So your record won't last long. Suddenly, Zach's arms uncrossed. His hands flew wildly up in the air and he began slapping his face with both hands.
Ow!
Cut it out, Aaron, he yelled, trying to squirm away. Let go!
Why are you hitting yourself? Meh, meh, meh.
We heard Aaron laugh as Zach slapped himself a few more times and suddenly managed to wrestle out of her grip.
1 minute,
April announced from behind us.
Ow, you hurt me,
Zach said, scowling and rubbing his red cheeks. Aaron laughed. And Dune lost his place. Again.
You still feel okay?
I asked, glancing into the mirror.
Fine. Stop worrying, Max,
Aaron scolded. My t-shirt suddenly pulled over my head. Aaron laughed.
Give me a break, I cried, spinning away.
God, I wish I was respectful enough to not check text messages while recording.
2 minutes,
April announced. I heard the attic stairs creaking.
A few seconds later, Whitey poked his head in. This time, he stopped in the doorway and peered into the room without entering that fucking cursed bitch.
Go back downstairs, boy, I told him.
Go down. And
then he pointed to a peanut butter jar. Get it, because the dog and go down? I mean, forget it. He stared back at me, as if considering my request, but he didn't budge from the doorway. I didn't want to take another chance of him getting close to the mirror, so I grabbed him by the collar and guided him to the stairs. Then, it took a while for the dumb dog to get the idea that he wasn't supposed to go down the stairs. When I returned to the little room, April had just called out 4 minutes. Zach was pacing impatiently back and forth in front of the mirror. I guess he couldn't wait for it to be his turn. To go invisible in the invisible mirror. I just felt like I needed to add something there, so it wasn't even a joke. I just added what his turn was. Oh god, I need some water. My head's starting to swim. I found myself thinking about Lefty. Lefty knew I had called everyone and canceled the competition. So why had he called Zach, Aaron, and April and told them it was back on? Just one of his practical jokes, I decided. I'd have to find a way to pay him back for this. Something really evil.
8 minutes,
April said, stretching.
Ooh, it's like they're playing 7 minutes of heaven.
That's a game that apparently existed where two random people would be selected to go make out in a closet for 7 minutes. And it never happened to me when I was a youngin', you know. I know of it from, like, Freaks and Geeks and anecdotal evidence, but I wasn't at those kind of parties. I was at drink 40s and play Mario 2 kind of parties.
Pretty good, Zach told Aaron. Sure you don't want to quit now? There's no way you can win. Why not save everyone the time? Do you feel okay?
I asked anxiously. No reply.
Aaron, I called, searching around as if I had a chance of spotting her. You feel okay?
No reply.
Aaron, don't mess around, it's not funny, I cried.
Yeah, answer us, Zach demanded.
Still, no reply. Glancing into the mirror, I saw April's reflection, caught her horrified expression.
Aaron's gone, she uttered, her voice a frightened whisper. I'm talking to Nick N. via Facebook while recording in my breaks, which is becoming my new, standard recording protocol, where I try to distract myself and talk about shit rather than actually recording, which I'm doing now on chapter 20.
Aaron, where are you? I shouted.
When she didn't reply, I ran over to the string. Just as I grabbed it, I heard footsteps outside the room. A few seconds later, a can of Coke came flying through the door.
Miss me? Aaron asked playfully.
You scared us to death,
I cried, as Dune's laundry finished and he needed to put it in the dryer, my voice squeaking. Aaron laughed.
I didn't know you cared.
That wasn't funny, Aaron, Zach said sternly. For once, he was agreeing with me.
You really did scare us.
I got thirsty, Aaron replied.
The Coke can tilted up. We saw Coke start pouring out of it. The liquid abruptly disappeared as it flowed into Aaron's mouth, like in Pirates of the Caribbean when you first go down into the zone and there's that one skeleton who has a sword through his chest and he's drinking a bottle of presumably rum and it's spiraling down into his stomach and going nowhere.
I guess being invisible makes you really thirsty, Aaron sexplained.
So, I slipped downstairs and got a Coke brand cola.
But you should have told us, April scolded. Her eyes turned back to her watch. 9 minutes.
You shouldn't go downstairs, I added heatily.
I mean, what if my mom saw you?
Saw me?
Well, fuck, you know what I mean, bitch,
I muttered. Aaron laughed. I didn't think that shit was funny at all.
Why was I the only one taking this seriously?
Aaron beat Lefty's record and kept going. When April called out 12 minutes, Zach asked Aaron if she wanted to come back. No reply.
Aaron, are you goofing on us again?
I demanded.
Still, no reply. I could feel my throat tighten once again with fear. I walked over and pulled the string. My hand was shaking as I pulled it. I prayed silently to myself that Aaron would return okay. The light went out. The three of us waited tensely for Aaron to come back. After what seemed like an endless wait, she shimmered back into view. She turned quickly away from the mirror, a triumphant smile on her face.
The new champ, she declared, raising her fists in a gesture of victory like that fucking Rocky bastard.
You're okay?
I asked.
My feeling of fear refused to leave.
She nodded.
Just fine, worrywart.
She stepped away from the mirror, walking unsteadily. I stared at her.
Something about her looked different, too.
I added the two, but, you know, it seems bizarre.
As if mirror people are coming over once you spend 10 minutes.
She looked perfectly okay, not pale or sick-looking or anything. Not like an AIDS victim, but something was different. Her smile? Her hair? I wished I could figure out what was making her look all different and shit.
Max, pull the string.
Zach's eager voice jerked me away from my thoughts.
Let's go, man. I'm going for 15 minutes.
Okay, get ready, I said, glancing at Aaron as I grabbed for the string. She flashed me a reassuring smile,
but something about her smile was different.
Something, but what?
I pulled the string. Zach vanished in the flash of bright light.
Return of the Invisible Man! He cried in a deep voice.
Is that a movie? Is that like a real movie? Let me look. Return of the Invisible Man. The Invisible Man Returns from 1940. So no, it's not a real movie. R.L. Stine.
Not so loud, I warned him. My mom will hear you downstairs.
Aaron had lowered herself to the floor beside April. I walked over and stood over her.
You sure you're okay?
I asked.
You don't feel dizzy or weird or anything?
She shook her head.
No, really. Why don't you believe me, Max?
As I stared down at her, I tried to figure out what was different about her appearance.
What a mystery! I just couldn't put my finger on it.
Maybe she's left-handed now, too. Oh, my goodness.
Well, how come you didn't answer when I called you?
I demanded.
Huh?
Her face filled with surprise.
When?
At about 12 minutes, I told her. I called you and Zach called you.
But you didn't answer us?
Aaron's expression turned thoughtful.
I guess I didn't hear you, she replied.
But I'm fine, Max. Really, I feel great. It was awesome.
I joined them on the floor and leaned back against the wall to wait for Zach's turn to be over.
I really mean it. Don't turn off the light till 15 minutes, he reminded me.
Then he messed up my hair, making it stand straight up in the air.
This is where we're going to learn that if Zach beats off while he's invisible, and then the light goes on, does the product of his pounding off show up?
We'll find out, listeners, won't we? Both girls laughed. I had to get up, walk over to the mirror, and comb it back down. I don't know why people think messed up hair is such a riot. I really don't get it.
Hey, follow me. I've got an idea, Zach said. His voice was coming from the doorway.
Whoa, hold on, I called, but I could hear his sneakers clomping across the attic.
Follow me outside, he called to us.
We heard his footsteps on the attic stairs.
Zach, don't do it, I pleaded. Whatever it is, don't do it.
But there was no way he was going to listen to me. A few seconds later, we were out in the back door. Out of the back door, you know.
Following our invisible friend toward our neighbor, Mr. Evander's backyard.
This is going to be trouble, I thought unhappily.
Big trouble in little town that's close to Springfield. Fuck, I don't know where they live.
Aaron, April, and I hid behind the hedge that separated our 2 yards. As usual, Mr. Evander was out in his tomato garden, stooped over, pulling up weeds, hecacron leaves, sativas, indicas, hybrids, everything, his big belly hanging out of his t-shirt, his red, bald head shining under the sun.
What the fuck is Zach going to do? I wondered, holding my breath, my whole body heaving with dread.
And then I saw 3 tomatoes float up from the ground. They hovered in the air, then floated closer to Mr. Evander.
Oh, shit, I thought, groaning silently to myself. Please, Zach, don't do it.
Aaron, April, and I were huddled together behind the hedge, staring in disbelief as 3 tomatoes began to circle each other rapidly in the air.
Invisible Zach was juggling them.
Showing off, as usual.
He was always bragging about how we could juggle, and we couldn't.
By the way, I'm 28. I can juggle. Never has that amounted to anything positive in my life. It was never like, ooh, look at dude handling those 3 apples. I should toss him a handy. Nope.
Juggling is not good.
It took a while for Mr. Evander to notice, but when he finally saw the 3 tomatoes spinning around in midair a few feet in front of him, his eyes bugged out and his face turned as red as the tomatoes.
Franklin, did you hear that shit? It's hilarious.
Oh, he cried. He let the weeds fall from his hands, and then he just stared at the spinning tomatoes like he was frozen.
Zach tossed the tomatoes higher as he juggled.
April and Aaron held hands over their mouths to stifle their laughter. They thought Zach's stunt was a real hoot.
But I just wanted to get Zach back up into the attic.
Hey, Mary! Mary! Mr. Evander started calling his wife. Mary, come out here! You've got to see this shit! Mary!
A few seconds later, his wife came running across the yard, a frightened expression on her face.
Mike, what's wrong? What's wrong?
Look, those tomatoes are twirling in the air, Mr. Evander cried, motioning wildly for her to hurry.
Zach let the tomatoes fall to the ground.
Where? Miss Evander looked.
Miss Evander axed breathlessly, running as fast as she could.
There, look, Mr. Evander pointed.
I don't see any tomatoes, Mrs. Evander said, stopping in front of her husband, panting loudly.
Yes, they're spinning there!
Those tomatoes? Mrs. Evander asked, pointing to the 3 tomatoes on the ground.
Well, yeah, they were twirling and... fuck.
Looking terribly confused, Mr. Evander scratched the back of his head.
Mike, how long have you been out in the sun? His wife scolded. Didn't I tell you to wear a cap and lay off those fucking weeds?
I'll be in a few minutes, Mr. Evander said softly, staring down at the tomatoes.
As soon as Mrs. Evander turned and headed back to the house, the 3 tomatoes floated up from the ground and began twirling in the air again.
These kids are jerks with their invisibility, right, Franklin?
Mary, look! Mr. Evander shouted excitedly.
Look, quick, they're doing it again!
Zach let the tomatoes drop to the ground.
Mrs. Evander spun around and stared into empty space.
Mike, you'd better come with me, right now, she insisted.
And Mr. Evander was locked up for schizophrenia for the rest of his life.
The end of his sad life.
She hurried back, grabbed Mr. Evander by the arm, and pulled him away. The poor man looked totally bewildered, staring at the tomatoes on the ground, still scratching the back of his neck as his wife pulled him into the house.
Hey, this is awesome,
Zach cried right in front of me. Aaron and April collapsed in wild giggles. I had to admit, it was pretty funny. We laughed about it for a while. Then we sneaked back into the house and up to the attic. In the safety of the little room, we laughed some more about Zach's juggling stunt. Zach bragged that he was the world's first invisible juggler. Sorry for that horrible sound I just made. I feel like I've seen invisible juggling before, as if that's something that people regularly do when they gain invisibility in movies. Then, at 12 minutes, Zach suddenly stopped answering us, just as Aaron had. The three of us called his name over and over. Silence. Zach didn't reply. I'm going to bring him back, I said, instantly gripped with fear once again. I ran to the string. Wait! Aaron said, holding me back. Huh? What for? I pulled away from her. He said to wait till 15 minutes, remember? She argued. Aaron, he's completely disappeared, I cried, as Dune unnecessarily smacked the table where the mic is. But he'll be really mad, Aaron pleaded. I say bring him back, April said anxiously. Give him until 15 minutes, Aaron insisted. No! I said. I pulled the string. The light clicked off. A few minutes later, Zach flickered back. He smiled at us. How long? He asked, turning to April. 13 minutes and 20 seconds, she told him. His grin widened. The new champ! You're okay. You didn't answer us, I said, studying his face. I'm fine. I didn't hear you calling me, but I'm fine. Zach looked different to me, too. Something was very different about him, but what? What's your problem, Max? He demanded. Why are you staring at me like I'm some kind of alien life form or something, jerk? I don't have a joke again. Your hair, I said, studying him. Was it like that before? Huh? What are you talking about? Are you freaking out or something? Zach asked, rolling his eyes. Was your hair like that before? I repeated. Buzzed real short on the right, then combed long on the left. Wasn't it the other way around? I just stared at all three pets, and none of them are awake. I am on the couch next to hairless cat Yodi, then about 6 feet away Scarlet's laying, then about 10 feet away Franklin's laying in bed, and none of them care about me even though I pay for all their food, you jerks. You're messed up, Max, he said, grinning at Aaron and April. My hair is the same it's always been. You've been staring at that mirror too long or something. I could have sworn his hair had been short on the left, long on the right. Like that Dave Navarro guy in that new season of Ink Masters. So, I've never watched Ink Masters, but one of the guys on it this year used to work with my girlfriend until, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago or something like that, and then he went off to do Ink Master and she went to a better shop. So we've been watching it lately, but it's so fucking bizarre that Dave Navarro, who has the worst tattoos on the planet, gets to judge a tattoo competition. You know, it's like Doritos judging fine cooking. It doesn't make any fucking sense. Whatever. Point is, that guy has the worst tattoos ever and it's ridiculous. Are you gonna go? Aaron asked, jumping up behind me. Yeah, are you going to beat 15 minutes? Zach asked. I shook my head. No, I really don't feel like it, I told them truthfully. Let's declare Zach the winner and get the fuck out of here. No way, Zach and Aaron declared in unison. Creepy. You've got to try, Zach insisted. Don't wimp out, Max. You can beat Zach. I know you can. Fucking mirror version, Aaron declared. She and Zach both pushed me up to the mirror. I tried to pull back, but they practically held me in place. No, really, I said. Zach can be the winner. Go for it, Max, Aaron urged. I'm betting on you. Yeah, go for it, Zach repeated, his hand firmly on my shoulder. No, please, I said. But Zach reached up with his free hand and pulled the string. Chapter 21! I stared into the mirror for a moment, waiting for the glare to fade from my eyes. It was always such a shock, the first moment when your reflection disappeared, when you stared at the spot where you knew you were standing and realized you were looking right through yourself.
Just like all you shallow bastards, I can see you right through listening to this right now. How do you feel, Max? How do you feel?
Aaron asked, imitating me.
Aaron, what's your fucking problem, bitch? I snapped. It wasn't like her to be so sarcastic. Just giving you a taste of your own medicine, she replied, grinning. Something about her smile was lopsided, not normal. Think you can beat my record? Zach demanded. I don't know, maybe, I replied uncertainly. Zach stepped up to the mirror and studied his reflection. I had the strangest feeling as I watched him. I can't explain it. I'd never seen Zach stand in that position and admire himself in just that way. Something was different. I knew it, but I couldn't figure that shit out. Because he's a mirror version, asshole. God, Dune figured it out.
Also, it'd be funny if I didn't figure it out and I was just yelling. Clearly, I had no idea what was going on.
Maybe it's just my nerves, I told myself. I'm just so stressed out, you know, about elementary school. Maybe it's affecting the way I look at my friends. Maybe I'm making all of this up.
2 minutes, April announced.
Are you just going to stand there?
Aaron asked,
staring into the mirror. Aren't you going to move around or anything, Max? Oh shit, can she see him?
No, I don't think so, I said. I mean, I can't think of anything I want to do. I'm just going to wait for the time. Till the time's up.
You want to quit now?
Zach asked, grinning at the spot where he thought I was standing. I shook my head.
Then I remembered no one could see.
No. I might as well go the distance, I told him. Since I'm here, I might as well make you look bad, Zach. He laughed scornfully. You won't beat 1320, he said confidently. No fucking way. Well, you know what? I said, angered by his smug tone of voice. I'm just gonna stand here until I do. And that's what I did. I stood in place, leaning against the mirror frame, while April counted off the minutes.
I did okay, until a short while after she had called out 11 minutes. Then, suddenly, the glare of the light began to hurt my eyes. I closed my eyes, but it didn't help. The light grew brighter, harsher. It seemed to sweep around me, surrounding me, folding over me. And then, I began to feel dizzy and light, as if I were about to float away, even though I knew I was standing in place. Hey guys, I called out, I think I've had enough.
My voice sounded tiny and far away, even to me.
The light swirled around me. I felt myself grow lighter, lighter, as if I had developed bulimia, until I had to struggle to keep my feet on the floor and keep them from floating away.
I just spit all over the computer.
I uttered a high-pitched cry. I was suddenly gripped by panic. Cold panic, Zach, bring me back! I shouted,
okay, Max, no problem, I heard Zach reply.
He seemed miles and miles away. I struggled to see him through the blinding yellow light. He was a dark figure behind the wall of light, a dark figure moving quickly to the mirror.
I'm bringing you back. Then he was like, hey, wait, let me say that again, because I fucked up.
I'm bringing you back now, Max. Hold on, I heard Zach say. The bright light glowed even brighter. It hurt so much. Even with my eyes closed, it fucking burned in my goddamn brain. Zach, pull the string, I shouted.
I opened my eyes to see his dim shadow reaching up to the string.
Pull it, pull it, pull it. I urged silently.
I knew that in a second the light would go off and I'd be safe.
A second. One tug of the string. Pull it, pull it, pull it, Zach.
Zach reached for the string. I saw him grab it. And then I heard another voice in the room. A new voice. A surprised voice.
Hi, what's going on up here? What are you kids doing?
I saw the shadowy figure of Zach drop the string and step away without pulling it.
My mom had burst into the room. Fucking parents. They're almost as bad as teachers.
I like how I can't say that because I realize I just went on a rant about how my parents' marriage made me so happy I cried. I'm an asshole.
Chapter 22. Please pull the string, I called, like a tampon that desperately wanted freedom. No one seemed to hear me.
We're just hanging out, I heard Zach tell my mom.
But where's Max?
I heard her axe. How did you find this little room? What are you doing in here? Her voice sounded as if it were coming from underwater, far, far away. The entire room began to shimmer and the light flickering on and off. I held on tightly to the frame of the mirror, struggling to not float away. Can you hear me? I called. Please, somebody pull the string. Bring me back. They were just gray shadows in the wavering, rolling light. They didn't seem to hear me. Gripping the frame tightly, I saw a shadow approach the mirror. My mom, she walked around it, admiring it. I can't believe we never knew about this room. Where did this old mirror come from? I heard her ask. By the way, if there was even a closet in your house you didn't know about, it would be baffling. Like, you don't see the outside of a house and know what's there, and know what's on the walls. I understand it's like a magic room and shit, but I feel like I have a pretty good understanding of my surroundings and spatial awareness. She was standing so close to me. They all were. They were so close and so far away at the same time. Please bring me back, I shouted. I listened for an answer, but the voices faded away. The shadows moved in a flickering blur. I tried to reach out to them, but they were too far away. I let go of the mirror frame and began to float. Mom, I'm right here. Can you hear me? Can't you do anything? So light, so completely weightless, I floated in front of the mirror. My feet were off the floor. I couldn't see them in the blinding glare. I floated to the mirror glass under the light. I could feel the light pull me closer, closer, until it pulled me right into the mirror. I knew I was inside the mirror, inside a glistening blur of colors, the shape shimmering and shimmered and rolled as if it was underwater. And I floated through the glimmering shards of light and color, floated silently away from my friends, away from my mom, floated away from the tiny attic room, into the center of the mirror, into the center of the undulating world under of twisting colors and light. Sorry, I was baffled that he used the word undulating. It's very out of place in a Goosebumps? Help me, I cried, but my voice was muffled by the blurred, shifting colors. Bring me back, get me back! Floating deeper into the glimmering world, I could barely hear myself. Deeper into the mirror, and still deeper. Oh, all this is just stolen from Evil Dead 2. The colors gave way to shapes of gray and black. It was cold in here, cold as glass, but not glass like on a summer day, like when you touch your window and you're like, oh, the air conditioning's nice, but then you're like driving through Baker and you're like, fuck, it's hot. But like cold as in glass, just like when it's, you know, room temperature outside and inside and you touch the glass and it's slightly cooler. And as I floated deeper, deeper, the grays and blacks faded too. The world was white now, pure white all around, like Hitler's dream. Shadowless white, as far as I could see. I stared straight ahead, no longer calling out, too frightened to call out, too mystified by the cold, ivory world I had entered. Hello, Max, a familiar voice said. Oh! I cried out, realizing I was not alone.
Chapter number 23.
A scream of terror escaped my lips. I tried to form words, but my brain seemed to be fucking paralyzed like Terry Schiavo. The figure approached quickly, silently through the cold, white world of the mirror. He smiled at me, an eerie, familiar smile. You! I managed to scream. He stopped inches away from me. I stared in disbelief. I was staring at myself, me, smiling back at me. Oh, that's my dream. I just want to hang out and get drunk with Dune. The smile, as cold as the glass that surrounded us. Don't be afraid, he-me said. I'm your reflection. By the way, it just said he said, but I think he-me is a better term. So I might use that from now on. No, his eyes, my eyes, studied me hungrily. Like a dog staring at a meaty bone, his smile grew wider as I cried out my fear. I've been waiting for you, my reflection said, his eyes locked on mine. No, I repeated. It's not gay if we're the same person. No, I double repeated. I turned away. I knew I had to get away. I started to run, but I stopped short when I saw the faces in front of me. Distorted, unhappy faces. Dozens of them. Funhouse mirror faces with enormous drooping eyes and tiny mouths tight with sadness, like those horrible new school tattoos that look like Bratz dolls. Yodi, come here. There is a fat, hairless cat on my lap. The faces seems to hover just ahead of me. The gaping eyes stared at me. The tiny mouths moved rapidly as if calling to me, warning me, telling me to get away. Who were these people, these faces? Why were they inside the mirror with me? Why did their distorted, twisted images reveal so much sadness, so much pain? No! I gasped as I thought. I recognized two of the floating faces, their mouths working furiously, their eyebrows rising wildly up and down as if some sort of way that they would do sexual innuendo. Words don't work so well right now because the mirror window. Dune, keep your head in the game. Aaron and Zach? No. That was impossible, wasn't it? I stared hard at them. Why were they talking so frantically? What were they trying to tell me? Help me, I called, but they didn't seem to hear me. The faces, dozens of them, bobbed and floated. Help me, please! I really hope my neighbors don't hear me yelling help me again and again. And then I felt myself being spun around. I stared into the eyes of my reflection as he gripped my shoulders and held me in place. You're not leaving, he told me. His quiet voice echoed through the clear stillness, icicles scratching against glass. Ooh, look at you using metaphors, RL. I struggled to free myself, but his grip was strong. I'm the one to leave, he told me. I've been waiting so long, ever since you turned on the light, and now I'm going to step out of here and join the others. Others? I cried. Your friends gave in easily, he said. They did not resist. The switch was made, and now you and I will make a switch. No! I screamed. Not no to you, Frank. You can just keep doing what you're doing. My scream echoed through the icy cold for miles. Derp, derp, derp. Why are you so afraid? He asked, turning me around, still gripping my shoulders, bringing his face close to mine. Are you afraid of your other side, Max? He stared at me intently. I assumed he was referencing homosexuality. That's what I am, you know. He said, I'm your reflection, your other side, your cold side. Don't be afraid of me. Your friends were not afraid. They made the switch without much of a struggle. Now, they are inside the mirror and their reflections, dot, dot, dot. His voice trailed off. He didn't have to finish his sentence. I knew what he was saying. Yeah, what Dune was saying like four chapters ago, motherfucker. Now, I understood about Aaron and Zach. Now I understood why they look so different to me. They were reversed. They were their own reflections. And now I understood why they pushed me into the mirror, why they forced me to disappear too. If I didn't do something, I realized, my reflection would switch places with me. My reflection would step into the attic, and I'd be trapped inside the mirror forever. Trapped forever with the sad, bobbing faces. But what could I do? Staring at myself, I decided to stall, to ask questions, to give myself a little time to think. Whose mirror is it? Who built it? I demanded. He shrugged. How should I know? I'm only a reflection, remember, bitch? But how? It's time, he said eagerly. Don't try to stall with foolish questions. Time to make the switch. Time for you to become my reflection.
Chapter number 24.
I pulled away. I started to run. The sad, distorted faces hovered in front of me. I shut my eyes and dodged away from them. I couldn't think. I couldn't breathe. My legs pumped. My arms flew out at my sides. I was so clear. It was so clear and bright. I couldn't tell if I was moving or not. My feet couldn't feel the floor.
Every time you think you're walking, you're just moving the ground.
There was no wall. There were no walls, no ceilings. There was no air brushing my face as I ran. But my fear kept me moving. Through the clear, cold, shimmering light, he was behind me. I couldn't hear him. He had no shadow, but I knew he was right behind me. And I knew that if he caught me, I'd be lost. Lost inside this blank world, unable to see, to hear, to smell, to touch, to anything. Lost in the cold glass forever. Another silent, bobbing face. And so I kept running until the colors returned, until light bent to form into shapes. That's a beautiful sentence. And I saw shadows moving and shifting in front of me. Stop, Max! I heard my reflection's voice right behind me. Stop right there! But now he sounded worried. And so I kept running, running into the colors and moving shapes. Suddenly, Zach turned off the light. I came bursting out of the mirror, into the tiny attic room, into an explosion of sound, of color, of hard surfaces, of real things, the real world, IRL, for all you World of Warcraft players. I stood up, panting, gasping for breath. I tested my legs. I stomped on the floor, the solid goddamn floor. It did stompy shit back to me, and I knew it was a fucking floor. I turned my eyes to my friends, who were standing in front of me, startled expressions on their faces. My mom, I realized, must have retreated back downstairs. Did you make the switch? Zach asked eagerly, his eyes glowing with excitement. Are you one of us? Aaron asked at the same time. No, said a voice. My voice, coming from just behind me. We stared into the mirror. Inside it, my reflection, red-faced and angry, glared at us, his hands pressed against the glass. He got away, my reflection told my friends. The switch wasn't made. I don't understand, I heard April cry. What's going on, guys? Zach and Aaron ignored her. They stepped up quickly and grabbed me by the arms. They spun me around roughly. The switch wasn't made, my reflection repeated from inside the glass. No problem, Aaron told it. She and Zach forced me up to the mirror. You're going back in, Max, Zach said heatedly. He reached up and pulled the light cord. All right. Second Steel Reserve Tall Can done. This is one of the longest episodes, by the way. Jesus. And longest recording sessions ever. I've been doing this now for 4.5 hours, and I still have to edit it, and then add all the information, and then upload it, and shit, and then post it, whatever.
Chapter number 25.
The light flashed on. I went invisible. My reflection remained in the mirror, open palms pressed against the inside of the glass, staring out. I'm waiting for you, Max, he said. In a few minutes, you'll join me in here. No, I shouted. Not to you again, Franklin. I'm leaving. I'm going downstairs. No, you're not, my reflection said, shaking his head. Aaron and Zach won't let you escape. But don't be so frightened, Max. It's all quite painless, really. He smiled. It was my smile, but it was cold, cruel. Was this written before or after Coraline? Because someone should sue someone else on this one, too.
I don't get this, April was protesting back by the door. Will someone let me know what's going on?
You'll see, April, Aaron told her soothingly.
What am I going to do? I wondered, frozen in panic. What can I do?
Just a few more minutes, my reflection said calmly, already celebrating his stupid victory.
His freedom. April, get help, I cried. She spun around to the sound of my voice. Huh? Get help! Go downstairs, get help, and hurry, I screamed. But I don't understand.
April hesitated like a typical girl, am I right? Aaron and Zach moved to block her path. But the door suddenly swung open. I saw Lefty stop at the doorway. He peered in, saw my reflection. He must have thought the reflection was me.
Think fast, he shouted, and he tossed a softball. The ball smashed into the mirror. I saw the startled look on Lefty's face, and then I heard the crash and saw the mirror crack and shatter. My reflection didn't have time to react. He broke into shards of glass and fell to the floor. No!
Aaron and Zach shrieked.
shrieked, I popped back into view just as Aaron's and Zach's reflections floated up off the floor. They were sucked into the broken mirror, screaming all the way, sucked into it, as if a powerful vacuum cleaner were pulling them in. The two reflections flew screaming into the mirror and appeared to crack into hundreds of pieces.
Whoa!
Lefty cried, gripping the door with all his strength, pressing his body against the door frame, struggling to keep himself from being sucked into the room. And then, Aaron and Zach dropped onto the floor on their knees, looking dazed and confused, like the movie Dazed and Confused, staring at the pieces of shattered mirror that littered the floor around them. You're back, da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, I cried happily. It's really you. Yeah, it's me. Zach said, climbing unsteadily to his feet, then turning to help Aaron up. The mirror was shattered. The reflections were gone. Aaron and Zach gazed around the room, still shaken and dazed. April stared at me in total confusion. Lefty remained outside the doorway, shaking his head. Max, he said, you should have caught the ball. That was an easy catch. Aaron and Zach were back and they were okay. It didn't take long to get everything back to normal. We explained everything to April and Lefty as best as we could. April went home. She had to babysit her little sister. Aaron and Zach, the real Aaron and Zach, helped me sweep up the broken glass. Then we closed the door to the little room. I latched it tightly and we all carried cartons over and stacked them up to block the door. We knew we'd never go in there again. We vowed never to tell anyone about getting invisible or the mirror or what happened in that little room. Then, Aaron and Zach headed home. Later, Lefty and I were hanging around in the backyard. That was so scary, I told Lefty with a shudder. You just can't imagine what it was like. Sounds pretty scary, Lefty replied absently. Because he's a fake-ass Lefty, am I right? Called this shit. He tossed his softball from hand to hand. But at least everything's okay now. Want to play a little catch? No, I shook my head. I wasn't in the mood, but then I changed my mind. Maybe it'll take my mind off what happened this morning, I said. Lefty tossed me the ball. We trotted behind the garage, our usual place for tossing the ball around. I lobbed it back to him. We were having a pretty good game of catch. Until about 5 minutes had gone by. Until I stopped and froze in place. Were my eyes playing tricks on me? Here comes my fastball, he said, heaving it at me. No, no, no. I gaped open mouthed. As the ball shot past me, I didn't even try to catch it. I couldn't move. I could only stare in horror. My brother was throwing right-handed. Called that shit! Called that shit! Dune reads Goosebumps. Who? Dune. The guy who solved that shit. Swag. That's obviously the end of that one. Let's get invisible. I like the first half more than the second half. I feel like you guys will agree as well. I'll keep these coming. I guess my new plan for recording is if someone donates and wants a book, if they donate, on the Patreon or just directly and they suggest a book, I'll do it. But until then, maybe I'll just go sequentially so we can finally get all these done. I realize that I've only read I don't want to say half of them, but close to? What episode is this? 80-something? And there's, I don't know. Point is, I've read more than half, probably 2/3, but still have a third left. Well, that's a hiccup. Until then, I'm going to work on my website. You guys can just hit me up in all the ways you know how to hit me up. I'd appreciate it, because it gets lonely out there recording Goosebumps. But, want to know why I'm lonely? Lonely. Jesus Christ, I'm lonely. It is 4:30 and I need food. I'm going to call Alex and tell him to bring something. Anyway, I'm lonely, but I was getting it. Because I stay spooky, bitches.